Amen. How's everybody doing tonight? Good. It sure is good to see everybody, and seems like everybody's lively and talkative. That's good. It's told Brother Nathan, I said, I think everybody's ready to get out of the house and get back for a little bit. So that's good. It's real exciting to be back. I'm looking forward to the lesson message tonight. And we do have a short business meeting to follow after, and several objects of prayer. Several aren't able to be with us tonight, just different things going on and what have you. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But if you will, let's start off at Genesis chapter number 15 tonight. Genesis chapter number 15, getting back to our study on the fruit of the Spirit. I do want to finish strong on that. It's been good for me to look through these things and think about the fruit, what the fruit means, and do we portray these things? Do we have these things? And tonight we're getting on down to talking about faith. And when I was reading through and looking at the words, we got to faith, and I was like, my goodness, what in the world could I say about faith that's probably not already been said, that's not been written, that people hadn't really talked about? And you know, I think we've talked about it a whole lot in the Bible, but at the same time, I think too, sometimes it gets the things that we face in life make it really hard, and sometimes faith might be the last thing we turn to after we've tried everything else. And that's just kind of not how it's supposed to be for the child of God. After you've made that profession, after you've put your trust in Him and learning to just believe in Him and what He says. Thought a lot about it. There's probably all kinds of analogies that you could use and different things, but when you get to a place that you can't see things, that you can't, for those that have and rely on their sight, rely on that pretty much totally and completely, it's a very hard thing to try to go without being able to see, without being able to function that way. And you know, tonight I want to kind of also compare. The Bible does say that faith is a substance, but I also want to compare it to our senses as well. When you look at our life, our bodies, the way we're made up, we do have a physical side, but we also have a spiritual side, and they're both equally important. And I think sometimes, we've said it before too, out of sight, out of mind, and I think sometimes that might be kind of where faith falls sometimes. We don't see it always. What does it look like? If I ask you tonight, I heard this question asked this week in my studies, and also too, and I thought that's a good question. If I ask you tonight, Sister Marilyn, if I ask you, how much faith do you have? How do you answer that? How do you answer that? How would anybody answer that? If I ask you, Brother Allen, how much faith do you have? I mean, depends on what, I guess. In what, right? I mean, could you actually put a number on it? Could you put an amount on it? I mean, how would you cap it, you know? And I think really sometimes it's like things in life, us, the things that we deal with, the way life is. Sometimes it might be strong when you're not really facing a whole lot, but then it might get weak when things start looking bad. You know, that's I think we might use that terminology. And that's one of the most interesting things about faith is that I think sometimes it seems like it's invisible, but really if you ever see somebody portraying it, you know it when you see it. Somebody facing something very serious and there's a peace about them, there's this almost relief about them, you can see faith at work. You've used or heard the terminology used before about the wind and what have you as compared to the spirit, comparing it to the spirit. It's like, well, you know, I can't see the wind, but I can feel the effects of it. I can see what it does to the trees and to those things around us and light. Even though we don't necessarily see the light, I guess maybe if you look directly at a light, but it's light, what it casts is invisible. You don't see it, but it allows you to see everything around you. And see, that's what's interesting about faith. It's probably one of the most fundamental things, one of the most founding things that we talk about, but I think so, also it's one of the things that we struggle with the most, and usually just when things aren't going like we want them to go. I thought about it like this. There's things in my mind that I feel like I need. And wants are one thing. You can kind of just take wants and kind of set that to the side. But you know, there's things in your mind tonight that you probably say, I need this. This is a need. And it's not something frivolous. It's not something that's just kind of hanging out there or whatever. It's something that I really, truly need. And you know that in your heart. But you don't have it. And so in your mind, you're thinking, well, God promised me that he would supply all my needs. Does the Bible not say that? He promised us. Never seen the righteous begging bread. He will give you what you need. Well, one of the things I've been learning in my life too also is maybe you don't need it right now. Maybe you don't need it in this moment. Maybe that impatience that we have is really on us because the Lord knows when we need it. He knows what's around the corner. And you and I don't. He knows. But if you look up the definition of faith, the first word that comes up, and we'll give the biblical definition, and I'm sure you already know it. You know we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. You have to if you're talking about faith. You have to touch on that. But if you look up just the definition of faith in and of itself, it means belief. Belief, belief, belief. You think about salvation, the importance of belief. I think sometimes people have diminished how powerful belief is. You talk about salvation. You know, I know there's repentance. There's a turning, a changing of heart. You're turning a 180 from your way and you're going straight to God's way. And I understand that. But the Bible says so many times, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the power of belief. That is what the Lord is asking of us. And it says belief, and it also means the resting on the authority of another. You're not taking it upon yourself, not of your means or your ability. You're literally trusting on somebody else to do something. You're relying on somebody else to do something. The assent, the agreement of the mind to the truth of a proposition advanced by another. Somebody else makes a proposition, said, hey, I will offer you this. Will you take it? It's a proposition. And in your mind, you have to think through that, through that process. Am I going to take this? Am I going to accept this or not? That's what it's also talking about. It also means to persuade. There is persuasion that comes into play when you're talking about faith. And it means also to draw towards anything. Faith will draw you towards something, or should draw you towards something, draw you toward a thing, to believe, to bind, to draw, to lead by, as by a rope or a cable. Faith is something that pulls you. But when you have faith, that pulls you to Christ. That pulls you to God. We don't see him. We don't see him physically. We can't see him with our physical eye. But by faith, we believe in him. But how strong is your faith? How much faith do you have? I think for me, I've really been looking at this and trying to be as objective as I can be. You know, if somebody else is going through something, it is so easy to read these verses, Brother James, to them, read it to them, give it to them, and say, all you got to do is just stand on this. And then when you're in the storm, it's like, my goodness, it was easier telling somebody else how to do it, how to use it, than what it's like when we face it ourselves. But when you go back to your Genesis chapter number 15, the reason I wanted to start there is you'll see that's the first mention of the concept of faith. You don't see the actual word faith, but I gave you the definition there of faith. What does it mean? It means to believe. And so in the Old Testament, things were just kind of different. They didn't have Jesus Christ that walked through and did the miracles and did the things in front of them. Maybe it was an audible voice. Maybe it was an angel. Maybe it was a prophet. Maybe it was a vision in diverse times and manners is the way the Lord spoke to people in the Old Testament. So they had to believe that or trust that or not. They hear that voice. That's all they knew during that dispensation. Now, do I trust it or do I not? Do I believe it? Do I not? And so Abraham found himself in this situation, and he was promised. The Lord promised him that he'd have a child of promise and that his seed would be as the stars of the sky. He's about 100 years old. His wife's about 90 years old. And this promise came through, and he, like probably most of us today, probably thought, that's impossible. That's impossible. It's just not going to happen that way. You know, and things that I've seen in life, and I thought about like this too, church. You know, you can get fixated on what you think is a solution or what you think you need in a moment, and you could be praying for this certain specific thing, and that might be just in a drop in a bucket as to what God actually has for us. What he has for you and I. You know, I was thinking about it this way. I mean, you could be praying for a Pinto, but you might get a Toyota out of the deal if you just wait. You know, I'm trying to, you know, you got to be humorous about it. Subaru, Brother Rodney, might get a Subaru out of it. You know, if you wait on the Lord and see what He has and the way He wants to do things, but trusting when He tells you something, just hold on to it. He don't abrade. He doesn't dangle a carrot and try to lead you out there. But I think our faith sometimes will be tested. And if it's never been tested, how could you ever trust it? I think about situations I went through when I was younger. Now, when I look back on them, they seem very little, very minute, but at the time, it was the biggest thing I'd ever went through and experienced. And I see how that is kind of a building block, how the Lord will sometimes allow you to have that building block of trust and just trusting in Him. And it's an amazing thing. It's a relationship that He truly wants to have with you and me tonight. That's the way He wants it to be. But in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 5, and it says, "And He brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars." He's telling, basically, talk to the stars, look up and see the stars as clear as it's been. Last few nights, you can see how bright and the moon and how bright it's been. Look toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And He said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." Now that's a lot for somebody to try to take in. A promise given to somebody like that at what he would say later on in his life. Improbable circumstances. He, Sarah both laughed at the Lord when he said that. I mean, it was that unbelievable. It was that just kind of out there. And that is what was said. But after the Lord dealt with him, his mercy and his grace with him, verse number 6, and it says, "And he believed in the Lord." See, that's how you get saved. You know, it's that simple. He believed in the Lord. Didn't say anything about baptism. Didn't say anything about the Lord's Supper. Didn't say anything about it. He believed in the Lord. That's what it's talking about. That's what he did. The Lord said something. Abraham said, "I believe in you." You see, that's talking about in that verse or in that definition. It says the assent of the mind to the truth of a proposition advanced by another. Abraham is saying, "Lord, I believe in you." And I want us to know this because sometimes I think when we categorize things in our minds, and maybe you have it categorized clear and have it down pat, but I think sometimes people think about the Old Testament, the Jewish people, and the law, and they were saved by keeping the law. But truly, that's not how it happens. It's by their faith. You say, "Well, they sacrificed." Yes, why did they sacrifice? Because the Lord told them to. The Lord told them this is a temporal covering. This is a foreshadowing of what is to come. And so they had to do that. I mean, that's what they had to do. If some didn't do it, if they didn't do it by faith, they weren't saved. They weren't accepted. That's how it would be. The reason they did this is because they took God at His word. The reason Abraham here, the reason he is believing him, or the reason that he trusted in the Lord, is you'll see what happens here. And it says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." That's when Abraham said, "I'm going to trust in the Lord." If you've been saved, that's what you do. That's when you're saying, "Lord, I'm trusting in you. I know I can't do it my way. I know that it's impossible for me to get to heaven without you. It's impossible for me to do anything without you. So therefore, I'm putting my faith and I'm putting my confidence in you." And you see, this is the first concept of that being mentioned in the Bible. And I like the fact also, too, that this first concept of talking about belief led a man to be saved, led a man to righteousness, for it to be imputed to him for righteousness. And again, you'll see that theme follow through the Bible. Now, I'll hurry along. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm not going to go through all the different things there, just some of the basic concepts of a couple of verses I wanted to follow here. Try to look at things maybe in some of the studies that we had. I know we've gone through Hebrews, and I know that we've talked about faith several times and maybe covered some of the same ground, but I wanted to look at it a little bit different maybe tonight. Hebrews 11 and 1. And you can look at all the accounts in the Bible. The woman with the issue of blood who just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. The father who needed his son delivered from a devil, from a demon. You could go on and on and on and on. But people had to believe that Jesus was who he was, who he said he was, and he was capable to do something for them. They were depending on him for something. And Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for it by the elders obtained a good report." When you look at those two things, I want to look at substance, and I want to look at evidence. Two things, the way that it's breaking down here, substance means to stand. And it also means it's something existing by itself. Faith is something that exists by itself. I think that people think that Christians, maybe people who are non-believers, think Christians just are maybe are kind of simple-minded, or maybe just kind of just throwing it out there. They're saying that, but they don't really believe that. And sometimes I think people do say things that they don't fully believe. Sometimes it's easy for our mouth to know what to say, but in our heart it's like, "Lord, I don't know if he's really going to do that or not. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how it's going to be." It's easy for the mouth to say things sometimes, but it's a substance. A substance that means to stand. Something that's existing by itself. Remember, like light. Light is self-existent. It doesn't depend on any other element or any other material. Also, it says here, that which really is or exists. So if you have substance, that's something that really is. That when you talk about faith in the eyes of Jesus, that's something that really is. When you had people that walked with him on the earth, and he had people that heard his voice, heard the voice of God in the Old Testament, and today, what does the Bible say about you and me? More blessed are they that walking by faith. More blessed are we that are walking by faith and not by sight. We're taking this book here and we're reading what it says on the pages and we're choosing to believe it or not. That's pretty powerful in God's eyes. When you have this here, but you know there's a little bit more to it. And you'll see that here in just a second, but there's a little more to it than that. But it's the main or the material part. It's something real, not imaginary. And I like that. Being faith, a lot of times we use that as something that's invisible. We walk by faith, not by sight. In the definition itself, it's not imaginary. Imaginary is something that kids make up, people make up, people think that Christians make up. Faith is not imaginary. It's a good thing to have faith. It's a good thing to put your faith in the Lord. Now, if the Lord tells you something is going to be a certain way, if he gives you a piece about it, you mark it down. It's going to happen that way. But I'm going to tell you this. We're not going to override his will. You know, I think about this. I thought, well, you know, there's situations in people's lives where people have passed away and different things like that. That's when it's in the Lord's will, you and I cannot control that. And I know that there's a group of people who think that they can control things within their mind, that if they have their mindset strong enough that it will change things. I'm telling you, it depends on what your faith is in, but if it's not in the Lord's will, you can have your mindset however you want to, and it's not going to happen the way you want it to. The special thing about faith is a drawing closer to the Lord, that you trust him whatever his decision is. That's the hard part sometimes. You know, the reality of it is, you and I, we have an expiration date. We don't know when that is. You and I could live long lives, but you know, I can promise you this, we're not going to live forever. And it might come down to the end of our lifespan that only God knows, and he says, "This is your time to go. I know people are praying that you're going to stay, but you're not going to stay. It's not in my will. But guess what? I made a way that you could be together forever." See, he thought about that. It's not the end. This isn't the end. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, you think about the fullness of it, things that we can't change in life, but he made a way for us to be together forever. Praise the Lord for that. He thought about that. He put it all together. And it's the essential part. He put all these things together. And again, I want to go back and read this here again before I get too far down the road. "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It's not an empty thing. And again, I want us to know that we have senses that we use. Taste, smell, hearing, different senses that we have. That's how we navigate through this life, our physical life. You see something that you know is dangerous, you know to step away from it. You smell something that might be good to eat, you know that. Or if you smell something that could be poisonous, you know to avoid that. It's kind of interesting how that works. It's kind of simple, right? Well, you know, in the spiritual realm of things that we can't see, how do you navigate through that? How do you, Brother Tim, how you navigate through that? I can't see it. I can't see the pothole. I can't see the drop off there. I can't see that. How do I know what to do? How do I know to avoid danger? How do I know to stay in the right path? How do I know that? It's by faith in what the Lord says. See, He gives us His word where people maybe walked with Him, or maybe people heard His voice, had a vision, a dream, what have you, in previous times. But today we walk by His word. He said, "This, do this." You know, and it might seem kind of silly. You might think, well, I don't know that there's every answer to every problem that I have in that book. But it is. But you have to be willing to listen with faith. You have to be able to see with faith. You have to be able to stop and say, "Lord, I don't know what to do here in this circumstance. But I trust You and I know You will handle it. By faith, I'm giving it to You." Now, I think sometimes we talk about amounts of faith and what have you. If it's something that you've experienced many times over, you just have faith that it's going to happen. I think sometimes, I don't know a really good example for this, but you know, I've heard people say, "We'll do that tomorrow." Maybe you will, maybe you won't. That's the anticipation, because that's what you've always done. There's a faith or an expectation that you're going to get up in the morning and do whatever that task is. One day is going to come that's not going to happen. But you see, by faith, we just do that because it's something that we've done over and over again, and we have faith that it's going to happen that way. You see how you build faith with that. But then when you have a circumstance that you've never faced before and you don't know what to how to handle it, a lot of times we just kind of get paralyzed. Like, "Lord, what do we do? Are You going to handle this? Can You handle this?" He can handle anything. Can we trust Him enough? You see, these things, these situations, He is no less able to handle the situations we don't understand than He is the ones that we faced over and over and over. God's God. It could be that relationship that's not where it needs to be. I'm telling you, the Lord can touch this heart and that heart and bring that thing together like nobody else can. I've seen it happen many times. If you have somebody on this side praying for something, and you have somebody on this side praying for something very similar to it, it's amazing how the Lord just brings that together like only He can. He knows these things. And by faith, He works these things out. It's amazing. And also here again, now faith is the substance. It's a real material thing. It's a real thing of things hoped for, things that you want. Things that you need, things that are hoped for, things that you want to see for somebody else. A material or a physical need that comes up in life, but also it says here, the evidence of things not seen. I like this part of the verse. I can kind of adhere to that a lot because, or identify with that a lot, because I remember times we'd get a report. As an investigator, we'd get a report and it's like, "Here, you don't have nothing, figure it out." You got to go to work. You got to find what? Evidence. You've got a victim. Something bad happened. Something happened. The law was broken. Now you got to prove it. You got to prove it. You got to find evidence. When I looked that word up, the first word that came up, we get our word video from evidence. Video is the best you can get. I'm just telling you. Had a guy one time. Had a guy that was using the company card to buy gas in his personal vehicle. And I wanted to see if I could get him to confess to me. I wanted to hone my skills as an investigator. I wanted him to tell me without him knowing that I had a video of him doing it. I'm like, "Man, this is great. This is great." You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I was excited. I was kind of built up because I knew I had it either way. But you know, that guy never broke. Brother Bill, he never told me the truth. He denied it the whole time. He said, "I didn't do it. I didn't do it." And I thought of everything that I could say, everything I could do to get him to confess and just say, "Hey, you know, look, I did this without even having to use evidence." Well, I had to use evidence. That fella did not break until I put the disc in the computer. And he said, "You don't have to play it. You don't have to play it. I did it." And he was crying like a big old baby. Had video evidence. But you see, that's what this is talking about. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's a powerful thing. The way the Lord looks at it, when you can look at the Lord in a situation to you, and He knows us, that it's impossible to us, but you can look up to Him and say, Lord, this is just as done as if I'm watching the video of it happen. Isn't that amazing? That takes faith. People try to use logic. You can't use logic. You can't use it that way. You can't use logic with the Lord. It's by faith. You got to take Him by His word. And then here's the surprise of it a lot of times. You don't know exactly how He's going to work it out. That's the beauty of it sometimes. I think in my life, the situations that I've seen, when you look back on it, had I done it my way, I could have took credit. Somebody else could have taken credit. But when God does it His way, only He can take credit. But you know what that is? That's evidence that He's real. That's evidence that He answered your prayer. If the Lord has ever answered a prayer for you and you know it, that's Him saying, here's the video. Here's the evidence. Now you store that back and you play that from time to time because you're going to need it. Because when the next crime happens, when the next storm happens, pull that out and play it. Say, remember, the Lord did that for me. He'll take care of this for me. I tell you, there's times I think for many people, maybe here, thank the Lord, it's probably more on the physical side than it is maybe or material side of things than it is maybe on the physical side or what have you for some people. But this has been a long, drawn-out thing. You're trying to think, when is this going to end? When is this going to be all squared away? The Lord knows, and He's got us. He's got us taken care of. He's got it handled. Hebrews 11, I hurry along, Hebrews 11, 6. Now, know this, this isn't a surprise to you, but if you are wanting to be as close to the Lord as you can be, if you're wanting to please the Lord as much as you can, you have to know this verse. If you really want to get down to business with God, you really have to know this verse. You have to understand this verse and take it to heart. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. If you have no faith, it's impossible to please Him. I think here, when I look at this, you think about worrying. You think about anxiety and some of those things. When we get to the point that we're just, heard a young lady this week. I saw her and she trembles. And she says, I have debilitating anxiety. The smallest thing, you know, just kind of sets her off. And I was thinking how hard that would have to be to live a life like that. But you know, in our spiritual life and how that's set up, the Lord does not want you and I to be that way. When something is cast at us that seems impossible, the Lord is inviting us to trust Him. He's saying, here, this is a test, a trial. I'm not tempting you, but I'm testing you. This is a trial. This is something the Lord wants us to try Him on many things. Micah teaches that. You go back in the Old Testament, He said, try me and see if I don't pour out a blessing on you. If you'll just try me. A lot of times men and women won't try Him. They still kind of stay in their little comfort zone until the Lord pushes them out of it. The Lord's going to say, you're going to trust me. It might take you a long time, but you're going to get to a point you're going to have to trust me because you're not going to have any other way. There's going to not be any other way. But He's saying here, without faith, it is impossible to please Him for he that cometh must... Let me read it over here so I don't read it wrong in case I wrote it down the wrong way. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that kind of look for Him. Is that what your version says? Is that what your Bible says? Yeah, mine don't say that either. But we spend a lot of kind of looking for Him, don't we? I mean, think about it. Lord, please let this happen. Then, okay, now that my prayer's done, I can get back to worrying where I need to be. This is where I need to stay. I know people, and I say this jokingly, but I take it to heart because it's probably a lot of us. I know people, when they get to a place that there's nothing to worry about, they're worried the most because they're waiting for something bad to happen, Brother Allen. Wait for the next thing to happen. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. I know there's a lot of trials in life, a lot of ups and downs in life, but what it actually says, for those who diligently seek Him, those who are staying steady with Him, those who are staying right there with Him, not getting bored with Him, not getting impatient with Him, but steady application. And I think there's some times, and you might have experienced this, and I'd say you probably have, but I want you to be able to identify. There's probably been some times that you've been praying for something and it hasn't come through yet, but all of a sudden, Brother Mike, this amazing peace just come over you. Where did that come from? This amazing peace just comes over you and you says, you know what, it's going to be okay. Well, Lord, how's it going? It's going to be okay. Let me handle the details. Don't you worry about it. Let me handle the details. You can't do anything about this situation anyway, so why worry about it? Leave it with me who can actually do something about it. You see, that's what he's talking about here. But you've got to believe that he is. You've got to diligently seek him. That means with steady application and care, not carelessly. Not a haphazard prayer that you say by your mouth, but you have no faith or confidence within your heart. The more that we experience in life, and the more that we see him take care of us in life and deliver us from things in life, that's how our faith is built. Yeah, how is patience built? Tribulation worketh patience. How is faith built? Things that you can't see come your way, and by faith you have to overcome those things. And I want to close with this, a couple of things here. I was looking at these words, and you think about the word faith, and then you also there's the word faithful. There's some derivatives of this word here. I wanted to look at that for just a second. But faith, we know what that means, a resting on the authority of another. Faithful, that means the firm adherence to the truth and to the duties of a religion, being exact, being faithful. You're staying true to the truth. You're not veering away from that. You're not getting away from that. So staying faithful. And then faithfulness. That means fidelity, loyalty, firm adherence to allegiance. That means staying close. You know, it takes faith to have those other two things. Without faith, why would anybody be faithful? And without having faithful, I mean, how would you ever have any faithfulness? Staying consistent with something. Staying with the Lord. He's wanting you to stay with him. I want to close out Mark chapter number 9. Just a couple of things I want us to read here. This man had been in a situation for many years. He didn't have any hope because I don't think there's a number that's placed on it. But when your kids are involved, your hearts are really entangled in it. There's no relief from it. Until the Lord intervenes or till you get an answer for something, when your kids are involved, there's no relief in it. But Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through 29. Just think about the help that this man received. Look at what he received here. Verse number 17. And one of the multitude, so someone that was there, seeing everything that had been going on with the disciples and the scribes, Pharisees, all this stuff that was going on. This man is at the end of his rope. He needed some help. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnashes with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake unto thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they said they could not. You see that? Even God's people were stuck. See, the disciples had done things. They had done some miracles or was able to do some healings, do some casting out. And the disciples had tried this. This man, his back was against the wall. He went to God's people for help, and God's people tried, but they weren't able to help him. And they could not do it. And he answered and he saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit teared him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since it came unto him? How long has it been? How long has he been in this condition? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and to the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see, I think he was kind of right there on that cusp. You see, he was in a hard spot. He went to God's people and he tried. So there was a level of faith. And now he's actually standing before Jesus saying, if thou can help me. If thou can help me. You see, he didn't say, I know you can help me. I know you got this. If. But he's asking for compassion. His back was against the wall. His heart was broken. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. Isn't that powerful? Is that not just amazing? When I see problems, and Lord help us that we don't face something catastrophic or what have you, but when you see a verse like this, that gives me some consolation. That gives me some hope. That gives me some faith. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, if you can just believe. Jesus is just asking you and I just to believe. Lost person, he is just asking you to believe on him. Just believe that I am and who I said I am. Just believe that I am. And you can be saved. You can be delivered. That's all he's asking. That's what he's asking for. And Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things. That's powerful. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. I think you're talking about acceptance. You remember how Abraham was in that acceptance with that belief. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Please forgive me for not being believing. Help my unbelief. You know, I think that's okay to pray that. I think that's a good prayer. If you're being honest with yourself and you're finding yourself in a position that you're having a hard time believing, ask the Lord to help you believe. I think His sweet Holy Spirit will come around you and give you what you need. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. He did it here. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was in one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. You think about how sincere that situation was, how serious that situation was. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, after this was all said and done. Remember, they went to the disciples first, this father. He asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? Why could we not do that? And what he said right here, take note of this. He said unto him, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There's levels of problems. There's levels of things that people are facing. But if you ever really get serious about something that you need in your life, not that you can do it yourself, you can, I can't. But you start praying about that thing, and the Bible even said here, you start fasting over that thing, the Lord knows when you're getting serious about something. He knows when you and I are meaning business and we're not being careless about it. I just want to encourage us tonight with that. I'm going to stop there. Encourage us with those. Leave off with that there. But if you're facing something, the Lord can help you with it. He stands ready to do that. He wants your faith. That's what He wants. If you've accepted Him, He wants your faith, more and more of your faith every day. If you're lost, He wants your first time faith. That faith of believing. That's what He wants. And see, the beautiful thing about this is once you've accepted Him,